Welcome back, 3:36, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, Jennifer Harper from Inside the Beltway. Hello.
Why, hi there, Andy Parks.
Polly want a sequester? Networks are parrots. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I just simply love this statement that came from our friend Brent Bozell over at the Media Research Center, and I really wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm.
When I got
when are
this.
You bringing those birds in here, by the way? You maybe keep telling me that you're bringing these birds in here.
Jojo and Frank.
Yeah, and they're going to spend the show, you know, sitting in the studio here, and I've yet to see them. And have you seen the birds yet?
No.
No, of course not.
This is my cockatiels, everybody.
Do they make a mess?
No, no. They have little travel cages. So
oh, they
I
do?
Will, yes.
Okay. I mean, like, you see, I'm looking up, and
no,
I have,
they
like,
would come
I have
sit in
lights,
a chair.
And I have, like, these bars up there that they could actually land and sit on these bars up here.
I don't
but
think
they
you
would,
want to let them out.
You don't? No. Okay, because they go crazy?
Well, they would get...
Uh-oh. Your microphone just went crazy. Your microphone just fell over. It's pretty funny.
State-of-the-art equipment here, folks.
Yeah. What happened? It just kind of...
Matt Stella did that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. This is Brent Bozell and the Media Research Center actually went over all 88 sequestration stories.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's a weird word.
Yeah.
That ran on ABC, CBS, and NBC leading all the way up till Friday when the cuts went into effect and discovered that 66%. 6% of them all advanced the hysteria coming out of the White House.
Of course they did. Of course they did. And you know what's so funny? Afterward, a lot of them have remained strangely quiet because they haven't really seen the effects of it. You know, the world is coming to an end, coming to an end, coming to an end, and uh-oh, it didn't end.
Yeah, they pointed out that people like Charlie Rose said that troops would pay for the sequester with their lives, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Brent Bozell, he's the director of the Media Research Center, longtime conservative watchdog group. He said, like squawking parrots.
Yeah.
ABC, CBS, and NBC mindlessly repeated the administration's phony, overhyped, doomsday talking points.
Yeah.
They are beyond shame and fully devoted to pushing Obama's message. No
matter of course they are. Of course they are. Even Obama, you know, he was talking, remember he was at the Capitol and he said, the janitors here tomorrow may not have jobs or something. And, you know, then the guy in charge of all the janitors had to send out like an emergency email to all of his employees going, no, that's not true. That's not true. You will have a job. You will be working tomorrow. So the president stood right there and lied. And, you know, and then the media just eats it up. They just run with it. Whatever he says, yep, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, 66% of those stories did exactly that.
Yep.
They went, wah!
That's it. Okay. All right. Half of Americans don't know what a sequester is.
Yeah,
now,
well,
is
you know,
surprise.
You got to tell you, there that is a big surprise.
You know, I don't know why they just didn't say mandatory spending cuts. You know, I don't know why they went through this little, you know, sequester business stuff.
Yeah. They borrowed it from what, jury duty? I'm not really sure myself. but anyway, a Gallup poll, and this was released yesterday, and actually this poll was brought up at the White House gaggle today. But anyway, 51% of Americans say they do not know enough about the sequester to say if it's a, quote, good thing or a bad thing for the nation.
And believe me, and that's what the Obama administration was banking on.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. And someone brought that up at the White House today, one of the reporters, and spokesman said, I haven't seen that poll, but I'll think about it.
All right. Who's not coming to CPAC?
Yeah, have you been following this sort of soap opera that's going on with who's coming and who's not coming?
Well, yeah. Al Cardenas yesterday afternoon said he wanted to apologize personally to the 314-plus million people who were not invited to CPAC. Because this is all nonsensical stuff.
I mean,
you know, this whole Chris Christie deal... Ben Carson is coming. Chris Christie's not coming.
Right.
Mitt Romney is coming. I mean, it's just, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Well, some people do care. And certainly yesterday, Pamela Geller, I don't know if you've spoken with her lately. She has been a longtime, very outspoken opponent of radical Islam and all that goes with it, the Ground Zero Mosque and things like that. And she has been appearing at CPAC for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, this was at her own blog, said, I applied to speak and was ignored. I tried to get a room for an American Freedom Defense Initiative event, the War on Free Speech, and was ignored for the first time in 5 years. I won't be at CPAC. And, you know, Mr. Cardenas was asked all about this, and I think... he cited civility as being a factor in some of the folks not returning.
Yeah, you know, and to I have to come to Al's defense because he said, you know, yesterday in talking to him, and he said this in the past, look, we don't have room for everyone, and those who do speak there from time to time will not be invited back, but they might be invited back the year after. So, you know, don't take it personally.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that some of these people, I believe, they think that once they get in there, it's a free ticket.
Yeah.
They're there the rest of their life. Every year they're going to go there and they're going to speak, and that's just not the way it is. And he made that perfectly clear.
Yeah, well, it is the 40th CPAC. It's a big hoop-de-doo down at the beautiful Gaylord Hotel on the banks of the Potomac River.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, that as people parse out who's coming and who's not going, there are some folks, you know, for example, GOP Proud, that's the gay Republican group, are not going, and that created some kerfuffle about 2 weeks ago. And some factions say we need to embrace everybody as 2014 approaches, no matter who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And others are saying, no, hold with whatever your traditional beliefs are, blah, blah, blah. So interesting little secret storm evolving there.
China Goes Hollywood seeks American scriptwriters, eh?
Yeah. This is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing, this is China, this is what they have to say. Two great competitions. You could win an expense-paid week in Beijing and a chance at $15,000 grand prize. You could see your short film produced. 100 great prizes in all, no entry fee. Don't miss out. Andy, this is coming from the Cultural Assets Office of the Beijing Municipal Government that is state-owned. They have announced a 2013 Beijing International Screenwriting Competition.
How are we doing?
It has to be about Beijing. They want Americans to write it. They have some American producers who are going to judge this.
Wow.
And this is the...
They can actually have like a movie made in China.
I tell you, if you're a screenwriter, go for it. Why not? Contest chairman...
Do you have to know Chinese?
I don't think so. Okay. This is what a spokesman says. This competition is one of the first established routes for U.S. filmmakers to obtain direct access to the Chinese market, which is huge. They are the second largest watchers of movies on the planet.
Huh.
They loved Avatar. That was one of their movies that they adored. They didn't get some of our movies, but they adored that.
Huh.
If you're curious about this, if you have a college student who pines to do this, you can go to writebeijing.org. It's
all right.
Strange little phenomenon.
Very good.
It's coming right up.
You're going to do
any writing? I know someone in Hollywood who's going to do it.
Oh,
and,
you do?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is they're rushing this thing right along. The proposals are due the first week of April.
Wow,
so
better get busy.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, Huckabee suggests he could solve sequester over some fried pies.
Yes, I always pay attention when Mr. Huckabee speaks because it's often around the Cracker Barrel style stuff. And if you recall, maybe you don't recall, once upon a time, the actress of vintage Hollywood, Betty Davis, once said, "If you want something done right, get three old broads to do it." That's what she said.
Yeah, I have heard that somewhere along the line.
Oh, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Well, Mike Huckabee thinks that the entire sequester crisis or non-crisis could be solved by six old governors. He is proposing that himself and six former governors, three from each party, he says, should be sat down, given 2 hours and lunch. And he says they'll find out that they can cut the 2.4% that President Obama cuts before the fried pies arrive. Just
mm-hmm.
give them two hours.
Everybody can do it. Everybody says they can fix it.
Well, he said, when I was governor of Arkansas, mm-hmm. I had to cut spending by 10%.
Right.
Somehow schools stayed open and police still answered calls. That's what mm-hmm. he has to say. But give the man a fried pie and six old governors.
There we go.
And they'll solve the problems of the world. And
America's problems will be handled.
There you go.
All right, very good. Come back and bring some of those fried pies tomorrow.
That sounds good.
Right?
I'll warm them up and hopefully we'll get through the snow. And by the way, do you have your toilet paper and milk ready to sell out of your
trunk? Yeah, I'm selling out of the trunk of my car.
Okay.
I have bread, milk, and toilet paper.
There you
open
go.
For business at about 6 o'clock tonight when I get off the air. So anybody interested, you know where I am.
Andy Barr.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. There she goes, Jennifer Harper from Inside the Beltway, 3:46, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.